Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is another exciting training day. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Giving honor to Christ. Amen. The Lord God Jehovah. Amen. Blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. And Pastor O and all the saints and friends that are listening in, I say praise the Lord. You know, it's a blessing to have this opportunity to come before y'all to be able to share the word of God. You know, it's really been an interesting week for me, but, you know, I thank God for it because, you know, when you really understand what this thing is about, you feel comfortable. You don't get shaken as much. Amen. Just thanking God for all that is going on. And, you know, I kind of was thrown here because I have a clock. My clock, it doesn't care about daylight saving time, and it threw me off because it was saying 3 o'clock when it was actually going on 4 o'clock, you know, so an hour ahead already because we changed this daylight saving time, and I still ain't figured out where they're storing it at and why they don't use it when we need it. But anyway, let us go before the throne of God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne, the privilege that you paid for with the blood of your own son. We thank you, Father, for the blessed Holy Spirit, the keeper, the guide, the teacher, the comforter. Father God, we thank you for angelic help and support that you give us, that we access, amen. Father, we thank you for all the men and women of God that teaches us your word, amen, to help us to walk the way, amen. We ask him right now, that you continue to bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding more so that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, what is the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you, Father God. Father God, I ask you to strengthen and might those that are going through bereavement and various challenges, blessing them to understand, amen, that they have the victory despite what it looks like. Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen us with might, amen. Father God, we ask you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work. And And Father God, we're asking, amen, that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. I've been been in anticipation over this because, you know, I've learned a lot, and it's really just tremendous. I mean, one thing about it, if you stop growing in the knowledge of God, then that probably means you have gone to spiritual death and you need resuscitation. You know, that's how back in the day we used to have what is called revivals. And that's what that was about, to keep people from, wake them up out of their sleepiness. You know, we started out talking about the Christ, Jesus the Christ, and what that really means and the what it's about. You know, and that Jesus, that Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is a statement of authority and power. It is the manifestation of something that was in God's plan from day one. You know, we talked about the fact that, you know, you look at the creation of Adam and how astounding that really is. I mean, we read it in the, you know, the black ink on the white pages, and we know God's connected with it, and we know he's awesome and almighty, but we really don't look at the complexity of the events that follow, because they happen so quickly. And yet we've seen it repeated throughout mankind's history without really, and it's amazing how so many still don't see what's going on. I mean, it's some things you would think are obvious, but it's clear that they're not obvious, because there's some overriding or some undercurrents that cause people to be deceived and misguided. And this is something tremendous. You know, we talked about the fact that Christ's name means Christos, amen, anointed one, and his anointing. You know, I first heard that phrase, and his anointing, because you don't, you know, they do, further, those that do deeper Greek study, you know, come up with these names. But what you have to understand is what everything in the Bible, when it relates to the Bible, has to line up with the Bible. I mean, it's very, that's one of the things we know about the Word. Everything is set. In other words, it has to meet and reach or be in pursuit of God's full goal, which is man's eternity with him as his child. See, we're part of something magnificent. We're part of the family of God. You know, we look at the story, you know, the story of evolution on the spiritual realm. You know, it's amazing. Satan jumped on that issue real quick and spawned that false teaching of evolution out there, that man evolved from some creature that they can't explain how that creature, amoeba, came into being, and then it grew into a fish and grew legs and grew, you know, it take a whole lot of faith to believe that. And then became an ape, then became a man, then come up with, you know, 10,000 different languages when the Bible explains all that in detail. But even at that, again, you know, you're talking about, you know, when I first looked at it, first time I read and God picked up dirt and breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul, I didn't think about the fact that there was a separation that occurred and that Adam participated in the manifestation of his own being, because God had given him that level of capability. And the reason I know this is because you were the result of what we commonly refer to as a sperm that had none of what you see in the mirror, but yet you see that in the mirror, and that is the result of the spirit man in you. And that's where the need for Christ comes in. Because, see, you have a God-like character, spirit man. You have, you made in the image of God, authority, but you must be able to manage that in a manner that is acceptable to God and Him only. And if you look at life, you see that they have come up with these ideas. A man has decided that he can determine what's right and what's wrong. No, God alone determines what's right and what's wrong. And you see this expressed in many different ways. Okay? So what the fact is because we have this capacity to think and make decisions and comprehend and understand. What we don't understand is the effect of the longevity. Again, the fullness of the power. None of us on this earth have experienced the fullness of power. The only person that experienced the fullness of power was Jesus. And see, I don't want to get off into that, but it's clear to me, it always has been clear that he was God manifest in the flesh. And once I've learned of the word omnipresent, it became easier to accept because that meant that, you know, God is all being, all knowledge, all aware, anywhere in the universe. You can't get there. So how then do you see a person you can't get outside of to see them unless he expressed himself in an image and in power, which he did through Jesus and has done many times through us? Now, this is what we need to understand about the term Christ. It's where we get the term Christian. Christianity is not a religion. Now, a lot of what I'm telling you, this is an area where you have to sit down, you have to come to the place of deciding that this is what God wants me to understand. Because he's not going to force this on you. You know, I don't care how many times and how many teachers you get. If you don't want to accept that reality, it's really nothing I can do about it. Because this is, I know it's deep. It really is. Like I said, you have the simplicity of an act of God creating man. And the fact that God knew if he had made Adam another God, it probably would have been a war in the universe. I don't know, because God understands this. He understands love. He is love. So he know what he want and how it has to be. But we don't. See, the fact that Adam sinned was not comprehending love, because love drives you to protect, okay? And he would have protected Eve. I mean, he would have grabbed the Satan, the snake, and done away with him. You know, put him out the garden at the very least, if nothing, you know, sewed his mouth shut or something. Love does that. You know, people that are in relationships and they say they love each other. Well, love is not going to lead to sin. It never will. Love will lead to prosperity. It will not lead to sin. Love will not take you out of the will of God. That's for somebody out there. All right. So we talked about the fact that in Genesis 3:15, right after they did sin, it was just going to be a matter of time anyway, that God had already made provisions for a Savior. Now, that provision didn't come. We saw it printed in Genesis 3:15, but it came in Genesis 1:26 when God said male and female created he them, okay? So once God created man, he knew that man was going to be, some of us was going to get out of the way, and he was going, and God demands, he said, holy, be ye holy as I am holy. So that meant that once you get out of line, you was going to have to get back in line. But you had to be accountable for being out of alignment, because he is God and we are not. Okay. All right. I'm trying not to lose y'all. So what we got here with some, I'm focused on these young people that don't get it, because they haven't had the experiences that a lot of us have. I don't think there's any young people today, even those that are, well, not in America anyway, that have experienced wearing shoes till they had holes in the bottom. I did that. I went through that. They never had a pair of talking mappers. I think I got that name from Pastor O. You know, where your shoe, we used to have shoes, they had leather bottoms, and then when you walked, the bottom, when the threads wore out that was holding them on, would slap the bottom of the shoes, and that's where we got the name talking mappers. But anyway, all right, so what you have to understand about the Bible, it is spiritually evolved, but it's what you see referenced in the Bible is often referred to as typology. That's typology. Okay? Now, typology, well, Paul referred to that in Romans chapter 1. I want to read that. Verse 20, so amen, praise God. Starting with Romans 1:20, it says, the invisible things of him, talking about God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now listen to that. The invisible things of him, meaning they exist, of him from the creation of the world, from what the world around you, from things that you can see, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. The invisible things are being understood by the things that are made. Okay? Even his eternal and Godhead. All right, so when you hear the name Christ, I believe we talked about in Daniel, it referred to the Messiah, and we looked at the Hebrew name of Messiah meant anointed one. Same thing, Christ in Hebrew. So we know that's why when you hear the term Messiah, you're talking about the anointed one. You're talking about Jesus. You're talking about the Christ. This is what Peter talked about when Jesus asked him in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. He said, who do men say that I am? See, and then they gave off a series of names. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And then Jesus asked them, who do y'all say that I am? Now, mind you, they did not have Bibles like we have today. They did not have YouTube. They didn't have churches as we have today. The teaching was done in a similar manner, but a little different. So all this information, but the fact is, fathers were responsible for teaching their children about God. They would go to the temple, and the men would be taught, and then the men would go home and teach their children. So amen. But anyway, we get a little feedback here. Praise the Lord. This must be important because the devil been picking lately. But okay, so we're talking about Christ. And the point I want you to understand, it is not his last name, but it is a power. It's Christ Jesus before the cross and empowered more so after. Because afterward, he did some really spectacular things that when you really think about it. Okay, so we just read that, Romans 1:20. Now, I want to read Christ, what I was taught years ago, basically is a layer. When you receive Christ, you receive a layer of protection from God that allows you to be in the presence of God, because nothing unclean can be in God's presence. That happens because when Adam sinned, which was going to happen, okay, that caused all men to be born in sin, which is why we have to be born again, okay? And I want to try to not skip anything, because I want you to get the process that goes on. And we have to use references from the Old Testament. And again, don't just hear this. Go to God and ask him to put it in your heart, to give you the revelation in a way that you understand it. Because this is the problem where we have right now, man as it is. See, the reason why good people go to hell is because they don't realize how dangerous they are outside their body. And no matter how intelligent we are, we're dealing with a person who has these extreme intelligence on both ends. On the good end, we're dealing with God. On the bad end, we're dealing with Satan, whose IQ has to be around 2,500, which is 10 times the average, the smartest man or woman. All right? So when you're talking about, like, you're receiving Christ, you're receiving an empowerment from God. It comes from God, and you can't buy it nowhere. You can't earn it. It's too expensive for you to buy. As a matter of fact, it took the blood of Jesus. Now, I want to go back and I want to go to Exodus chapter 30. And I want to read, show you where God is laying out this process. Now, I once asked, you know, why didn't he, Exodus chapter 30, and I want to begin at verse 22. You know, God could have, from day one, made this a simple process. But see, the difference was angels come with a mental capacity that I would say is almost full. The difference between them and us is they don't make decisions like we do. They can only make a decision. They make a decision to do wrong. And if they make a decision to do wrong, their life is canceled permanently. That's it. They don't get forgiveness. They don't get to go, okay, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. They don't get that. Why? Because they're not dressed with this flesh. They don't have these, go through these agonies and antagonistic experiences that we go through. And we go through them because part of God's plan is for us to serve and rule with him as kings and priests ever throughout the universe, which is being expanded 186,000 miles per second. The capacity that you will have as far as power is beyond your imagination. And it is such that God cannot and will not allow us to even experience it at, I would say, the second level. You know, we get all first-level experience. At the second level, you at least be able to fly. But see here, you know, if you look at John 20:26, that gives you an idea. We're going to have that capability that Jesus had in John. When he appeared before the disciples in John 20:26, the thought process was all it took for him to arrive. He could not be blocked by the roof or the walls, which were brick. He didn't even break through the wall. He just appeared. That is complete control of the molecular environment. That is tremendous power. That is God-like power. And God is going to give every Christian that makes it through in judgment that same level power. And it cannot be given to a person that really hangs on two things: doesn't have a complete devoted love for God, and don't love his neighbor. And that's critical. That is very critical. I mean, the thought of what that means, you would literally have the authority and the ability to destroy this planet completely. That's tremendous power. I know that's not something you think of, but look at what we do man's exploded in America 1,013 nuclear bombs. I looked it up. He has no clue what kind of power that exists. And God wants to give us even more than what we know. Okay? So now what we're talking about here, you got to get a picture of the Old Testament where God is setting up the priesthood. Now, that's an authority. The priests represent man, stand between man and God. Okay? Now, this level of authority, like I said, right now, people, everybody that is saved, got saved because somebody who already was saved prayed for them to get saved. Nobody woke up one day with this genius mind that, I need to be saved. Because we don't have a sin nature, don't do that. You see that all the time. If you try to share the gospel like I do, you'll find out that it don't just happen. Amen. Part of that prayer I pray is how people get saved. That God would give them the spirit of wisdom. That is to understand things as He does. That's what spirit of wisdom, the intelligence of His wisdom. All right. Now, children of Israel that came out of Egypt, all right? And God is getting ready to sanctify them and identify them, and it's another word I can't think of right now. But God is getting ready to make them His, but He's getting ready to set things in order. Now, mind you, they are a culture in the midst of other cultures. Now, other cultures may have similar events, but they don't have the true and the living God. All right? So, it says, and then the Lord, I'm reading from the NIV, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, take the following spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel and a hin of oil. Shekel and a hin is how it was the measuring system they used back then, all right? Then make these into a sacred anointing, type of like cologne, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be sacred anointing oil, all right? Keep that in mind, sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting. This was the tabernacle where God had a tabernacle built, a large tent built. He gave them specific instructions on how to build it, how to separate it, how to put chambers in it, the whole nine yards. It said, use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, hallelujah, and the tables of all its art, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand, yeah. You shall consecrate them so that they will be holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. And that includes now. It says in verse 30, anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Now, verse 31, it says, say to the Israelite, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. A quick note, one of the signs of the last days is the restoration of this biblical office in the nation of Israel. They're going to rebuild the temple. They're already training. I saw a YouTube video. It may still be on YouTube where they were training Levites for all these activities or commandments that God gave the Levites back during this time. You know, the sacrificing of animals on an altar and all that such. They're teaching young men these practices right now as we speak in preparation for being able to serve in the temple in this manner. Although that is not how God do things, we will see that later on. But still, all right, Now, it says, do not pour it on men's bodies. That's key. Do not make any oil with the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes this perfume, I think it's missing something here. Whoever makes this perfume like it, and whoever puts it on anyone other than a priest must be cut off. In other words, you can't make this and sell this on open market. Period, like that. And wait a minute, I think I'm going to have to read this from the King James. I hate when they do that. Because what they think is not important is important. Very important. Okay. Okay. But anyway, one of the processes that is just, that okay. There you go. I was ahead of myself. All right. In verse 20, I want to back up to Exodus chapter 20. Actually, I want to go up to verse 17. All right. Exodus 30, verse 17. It said, then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze basin, and with this bronze stand for washing, place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons ought to wash their hands and their feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come. And then you go to the second part. I missed the first part. This is what I'm talking about. Christ is the layer. Okay? The blood of Jesus washes us. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this washing is symbolic of what occurs before the anointing is applied. Now, the anointing, in our case, is the Holy Ghost. So you can't receive. This is why we're going to read, I guess, we are going to read how there's a step process that occurs. And in this particular issue, in Acts 2:38, have been misinterpreted, or it's another word I want to get, I can't think of, amen, praise God, should have wrote it down. But bottom line, they get one step ahead of each other. In other words, you don't get baptized before you get saved. You get saved, then you get baptized, all right? But the process here, God goes through this elaborate process to establish the significance of the relationship between us and him, the magnitude of the authority and the power that he has, and the magnitude of the power that we have is so significant that it requires us to be protected, because if we don't know how to, it's power is tremendous. You know, I know most of you have never driven a race car, but if you've driven a car, you find there's some things about power. If you rode a bicycle, you know the inertia force that it takes to propel a bike. That's, even though it's a small form of power, it is power, and especially if you've ever been electrocuted. I don't think God would go through all this if it wasn't extremely important. This is not religion. These are not religious rites to you perform to please God. This is for us to recognize the significance of us respecting and honoring his authority. Because this is how far we are from him. As he said in Isaiah chapter 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts, my ways, my thoughts are so much higher than yours. We can't comprehend being omniscient. We call folks that got an IQ of 220 a genius. What is that to God? That's still a moron. If you look at smart, I mean, come on, God. You look at Job 38:2, and God told Job he ain't had no knowledge, okay? Job was a smart man, a very smart man. They had a type of relationship that he had with God. But I'm trying to get you to understand. All I'm saying, just like God sent them through all this is about Christ. All this is about Christ. All this about the anointing. All this is about the Messiah. The complexity of the man of what we are dealing with is just off the charts. And you have to, you can, and guess what? You can only get this by faith. You can only get this by faith. So what I'm, the process here is the washing occurs, the blood is applied, then we receive the another level of authority and power. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He never come upon anybody that hasn't been washed in the blood. I don't care what people say and think. He is not a feeling, okay? You can't go by that. But I'm hoping you get this because, again, look at all this, because it seems like the story of God, the story of the Bible should be a lot shorter. You know, it seems like it should be a two-page, okay, you're here, this is what you want to do. And this God could have just programmed into our spirits exactly what he wanted to do and how he wanted it done. But he wanted us to love him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to do it of our own free will. That is why our nature is so much different than an angel and even the animals. It is, we are a different character, and for folks to say that man is an animal, they don't believe what's written in Genesis 1 and 2. God made, he just called animals the dirt. He just called them up out of the dirt, but he did not breathe into them the breath of his life. He gave us his life. What we have with the Holy Spirit is an authority that Satan cannot override. What you saw in the garden was an authority that Satan overrode. Okay? He can't override me. I can't be possessed. I can't be attacked in the manner that he would love to. If he could right now, he'd counsel us out. Everything would be over now if he had all the power he had, the anointing. This is why we know. This is why some, you know, I'm not going to even waste time on that. All of us don't believe exactly how the rapture is going to occur. I am going to deal with that. Some believe it's going to have, we're going to leave before the tribulation period. Some say in the middle. Some say after. Because Satan is going to be allowed on the earth. I can't see us being here. He don't have authority over me, period. That'll stop the show. But anyway, all right, so the picture here is all this is about Christ. Now, imagine back when they were getting all this, they weren't really thinking on that level. Go to Numbers chapter 24, and I want you to see another reference to Christ by Moses. Now, mind you, this is some 3,500 years before he's going to be born, okay? But that meant that God had put, remember in Genesis 3:15, the first reference, and there are others, and some teach that Abel was a reference, his death, being slain by Satan through Cain, was a reference to Christ. They call that, I might have missed this, but it's called typology. It's what they teach us in Bible class. Now, mind you, again, it lines up with how God wants us to conduct our lives, okay? Now, this is really an interesting, you got to go back in your own time and read Numbers chapter 22 and follow up on what this guy Balaam does, okay? Now, Balaam was a prophet, but this dude was I mean, he was so crooked, he tried to scam God. You know, I seen some on Facebook about warning about false prophets. That's God's job. My job is, if I know that a person is, if I know, Galatians 6:1 say, if I know anybody out of order, I'm to pray for them. If they don't get back in order before they die, it ain't on me. God ain't looking at me for false prophets. I won't sit under any. I know people sit under them. But I'm going to tell you who sits under a false prophet. A person that don't pray, a person that don't read the word. Both of them, that combination. Because if you read the word and you pray, God ain't going to let you be deceived like that. You can't convince me of that. Because, see, I ain't no genius, and I ain't going to be deceived by no foolishness like that. So, anyway, so here you got this King Balak trying to get Balaam, children of Israel, because every place Israel went, they destroyed the armies, okay? So he figured, he going to get one of his own word. Remember that. He's going to get one of his own to try to destroy them, you know. But anyway, what is, he makes a reference here in verse 16 and 17. It says, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge of the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, whose eyes are open. I see him, but not now, and behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of Sheph. Now that right there is a reference to Christ, the scepter, his power and authority. And if you know about the scepter, well, I'm going to assume you don't. A scepter was a cane, like short cane that the king had. And if the king, what he did with that would determine the outcome of the of whether or not you could pass, come forward, or be destroyed. Whatever the king did with the scepter, if he hit you with it, you was going to die. All right? But anyway, this is so we're talking hundreds of years before he get there. But what we, again, so this is, again, in the midst of knowing that this authority has been given in the earth. See, and I need to go back to clarify about the priesthood of Aaron. You know, the bottom line is a priest have the authority to intercede between God and man, to, and in many cases, to prevent the death of man. I'm convinced that right now, the reason we are still here is because there are yet still enough Christians praying. And I'm hoping to draw another connection picture of what it means, but more so, I want, when people hear the name Christ and Christian, that they think of it not as a religious person, but a person of power. Now, you say, what do we get to do with this power? Well, you have to tune in to God, because I just learned something recently, an experience. And one of the things about using and the power of God is that it requires that you spend time with God. And that's in, you're going to pray and then sit still and be quiet. You're going to read the word and sit still and be quiet and let God minister to you so that you'll begin to be able to discern the presence of God. And I'm learning something about that is tremendous. See, that's something, oh man, this is, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, all right? So, again, like I said, we're talking about, the main thing is just remember that when Christ, when you hear the name Christ, you're hearing a statement of the power of God being given unto men through the manifestation of Jesus, who was God manifest in the flesh. That's in John 1:14. That's in 1 Timothy 3:16. As you know, it says, the word became flesh, the word. See, you got to get the picture. You can't just look at this narrowly. You got to look at this at the mystique level that it is, because we're going into a phase of life where not knowing your authority in God could result in disaster. I mean, right now, again, the folks on the coast in California, they have a power, they have the Christians have the ability to stop any unusual weather pattern. You know, there's a man of God, I'm not going to call his name, Bishop Davis, but anyway, I noticed since these three men of God, particularly about 10, 15 years ago, moved to the Florida area. And they have all been taught under the pretty much the same teaching that I have and have taken it to another level. And I don't know if you've noticed about Florida, but Florida used to get smashed with a hurricane yearly. I could not understand why anybody would want to live in a hurricane, living in Florida at all. I mean, it was nice when it's warm in the winter. But come hurricane season, I couldn't rebuild my house every year. You know, boats get thrown up, tore up every year. You don't see too many old boats in Florida, that's for sure. They get tore up pretty regularly. But I've noticed since these particular three men have been down there in the Florida area, there have been storms, but they have not had the devastating impact that they have had in the past. And that's because they stand, they know where they have authority. I watched, that's why you will find hurricanes will sweep up the East Coast past them and then come in the shore. It has to go where it can go. And I've noticed this, and I know who they've been sitting under the teaching of, and I know on their own, they spend time with God, because God boasts about this. You know, the word said, John 4:4, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If greater is he that is in me, that means I have authority over the prince of the power of the air. And if Satan, who throughout history has manipulated the weather because he figured out how to control it, then that means I can rebuke it. I learned this, I saw this, I'll never forget this, years ago, there was this old lady they showed, they talked about the fact that she stood out on her porch with her arms outspread and demanded that tornado blew up the whole neighborhood and left her house standing. I've seen pictures like that. We have that kind of power. I know it's astounding, but the reason God wants us to experience that is so that what I'm telling you about the power, the level that we're going to get for that 1,000-year period. I still haven't got an email from anybody explaining to me for that 1,000 years. And I know people with authority more than me can get more word. Got to get more revelation to a leader. Why 1,000 years? Why not just skip through to the new heaven and new earth? Because then we got another interaction going. During that time period, you got the survivors of the tribulation that'll be just like you are now common, and then you're going to be at the Jesus level, being able to do what he did in John 20:26 and then Acts 1:9, where he just floated on up into space. You know, and he was not beamed up by no aliens. Anybody believe that? I ain't going to say that. Hallelujah. I know it's tremendous. All right? So I want to give you, we got time, I want to give you another reference. And the reference here is Leviticus chapter 14. And again, what I'm showing is the process so that you understand that Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's almost like the word hallelujah. I haven't had a chance to break that down, but they say it's the highest praise to God. It's the highest praise we can offer to God. I wish we had higher, because he deserves higher. But if that's what we have, hallelujah, anyhow, hallelujah. You know, the same thing here. You got this elaborate situation. God goes through all this to bring about a point here. To bring about clarity, detailing the significance of our relationship, okay? And I don't want to read this whole chapter. So in your time, I want you to read this whole chapter. You know what I think? Well, it's just, I got the wrong chapter. But maybe I should get the right chapter. I might help. Okay. Now, let me break some stuff down to here. Okay. You know what? I think I'm going to have to read this from the King James, because I want you to get the part, because they use a more modern vernacular, but the person that they describe is a little more than simply a diseased person. They are a diseased person, but it was like, if you've ever seen a leper, you know, they say, imagine your, now that's a quote, white, you want to see a white person? That's what a leper looked like. I mean, they look like white as white is. The person that we call, people they call white now, are really taught, T-A-U-T. I think it's T-A-U-T or T-A-U-T-E. That's taught, really. That's a different complexion. A leper is white like a piece of paper. I mean, nothing is in there. And but what it indicates is our sin nature. And the fact of it's a nasty, funky, stinky situation. I mean, if you could smell somebody with leprosy, you would know. Skin condition that people get, I can't think of it. It's not leprosy, but it's close to it, in which the skin turns white, okay? Now, so you want to see here, let me get you to point out some of the things that are going to happen here. The leper is going to be cleansed, okay, signifying us being clean. And the process is going to be used with blood and hyssop. And I was taught that hyssop is faith, okay? And of course, we know the blood, think about this. Blood, when it's stripped of all its earthly aspects, is life, okay? Life, okay? Covered with the life. See, so we get the sin, the exchange that happens when you become a Christian is you get the sinless life of Jesus in exchange for your sinful life. And what that does is guarantee you access to the power of God, as long as you keep in alignment. At the end of every video, I always post seven causes of prayer failure. And if you work at that, and for unemployed people, tithing is not an issue. You don't have to pay tithes if you're unemployed. And for young people that don't have a job, I met a young lady, she's in high school. She don't work, so she don't have to pay tithes. That's for people that have a job that work, okay? But, so think about this. I remember first reading this in the Bible, and I'm like, God, you sure going through a lot. It looked like my time getting up, and I might have to pick this up next week. I know I'm going to have to pick this up. Yeah. I'm going to skip through, because I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go ahead and read this. Again, so it said, the Lord said to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Now, the leper, once they discovered you had leprosy, you couldn't dwell in the midst of them. So, you know, this is like sinners in the midst of believers, okay? You know, what fellowship have light with dark? That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them in the living, dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon them that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. And he that is to be clean shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of the tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave off all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, and even all the hair shall he shave off. He shall wash his clothes, yeah, that hair too. And all shall he wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Bottom line is again, before you can receive the anointing of God, you have to be washed. And there's only one way for you to be washed. And if you'll notice that he said his cleansing, he took the blood of a bird, and they dipped the hyssop in it, and then he had to sprinkle 7 times on it, okay? Now, again, this is all indicative of what happens when we receive Christ. Even though we don't see something physically happening, we don't see something red and misty in the air entering into our body, past our body, to our spirit, that is what is occurring when you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Because he's the only one that could do that. You'll never hear that phrase used to Muhammad because he can't do it, and you don't see the reaction. You begin to think like Christ. My man thinks like him. This is why I seek out the word of God. This is why I seek to walk according to the word of God. This is why I make all effort to live accordingly. But it's not only that. The benefit package is for us to understand the power that we have. And the experiences of life are going to give you an opportunity to use those. Give you an opportunity to use those. So, again, like I said, this is about helping you to understand that Christ is a statement of power and authority given to a human being that have a relationship with God that will, as you mature, God will allow you more access to the power. And it's coming upon you to do that because you're going to need it. You're going to face different challenges. You know, when you face challenges, there's authority to be able to confess the word of God over sickness and disease, to be able to lay hands on the sick, as the word we're going to see next week, the things that we'll be able to do. You're going to need this, but this process, I just want you to understand that as a, quote, Christian, okay, you have been anointed by God, that's what a Christian is, to do the will of God. Christ is the head. We are the body. Jesus is the head. We are the body. And we now have to take the power of God into the world to do the will of God. Now, to accomplish that, we have to begin at phase one. And that is, if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now have that opportunity. Just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son and that you sent him to die for our sin. And I ask right now that you forgive me for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now and to cleanse me with your blood. And I thank you for it. And now, Father, I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I am born again. And welcome to the kingdom. And if you've backslidden or broken fellowship with God, just simply ask God to forgive you. According to 1 John 1:9, just say, Lord God, forgive me for my sin. I'm coming back to you, and I thank you for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Okay, I hope I began to enlighten you a little bit about the fact that this is not, everything outside of Christ is religion. This is not religion. Because when he comes back, when he takes over, when he's sitting in Jerusalem, everything else that anybody thinks won't exist. There will not be, this is not going to be a democracy. This is a theocracy. It's God's way or no way at all. And besides, he it's his plan. And he knows what's right, what's wrong. He knows what's good. We think we know, but we don't know. Amen. We spend a whole lot of time doing stuff that ain't even worth it. All right? We create problems trying to be happy. Hallelujah. Amen. And remember this. Prayer works by faith, and faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
As American culture is secularizing, we have an opportunity for this to become much easier for us. The church is being disestablished from the rest of the community. Already happened in some parts of the country. It's happening now.
The world is crazy. It's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy. They say we're out of our minds.
It's happening now everywhere.
There's something we're facing. I'm hoping you know. You know. And we can't escape it. It's everywhere. Every time, man, that I look over show.
Oh, no.
Some people are searching, they hurting, they're looking for purpose, but not in religion.
Oh, no.
They say it don't work, in particular Christians are using the church as a business.
They're
tired of the silence, they're turning to violence. Some people just don't want to talk no more. The culture has shifted since Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York and in Baltimore.
Hey.
Look at Chicago with real music, youngins, they gunning and dying by the minute. Shout out to churches that's deep in the strength, being the witness and making a difference. Let's switch for a minute. Remember the case with Governor Pence in Indiana.
I know.
They challenge religious liberty, eventually putting our faith in the slum. The LGBT community collectively standing for discrimination. Over the sexual orientation. We can't afford to ignore what we face.
The world is crazy, it's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy, they say we're out of our minds.
51-50, the world's going 51-50, can I get a wink, deep in the drink? 51-50, the world's going 51-50, can I get a wink, deep in the drink? They're applying the pressure, but keep in perspective,
okay.
That we do not wrestle with people, but demons are scheming to reject the mess.
So,
the kingdom of heaven progresses, so Satan's regime is extremely feels threat.
You know.
But for God and his wisdom to put us in this position, we should think it's a blessing.
We should.
We're tired of the statement that this is a Christian nation. Finally, that culture wall will fall.
Finally.
And the gospel will flourish, authentic conversions, all as a result of the culture war.
Finally.
That's why we connect with the people and help restrain evil through policy shifting.
We
Christians who get it and socially driven. All cause we know it's a holistic mission.
So
now let's switch for a minute. We gotta consider that this is a post-Christian nation.
We know.
Or a pre-Christian nation. The point is to say that the people don't know where we stay. So we can't just be positive. Gotta give gospel reasons we believe in the faith. The biblical way that our conscience is shaped. With the kindness that backed up our articulation.
The world is crazy, it's all a sign of the times. They think we crazy, they say we're out of our minds.
51-50, the world's going 51-50, can I get a win? Deep in the drink. 51-50, the world's going 51-50, can I get a win? Deep in the drink.
We have the opportunity, as the culture secularizes around us and as the church becomes increasingly strange, to question ongoingly, how are we not reflecting the kingdom of God within our church structures? And then for our church structures to form the sorts of consciences that are able to speak to the outside about questions of the common good and public justice in a way that doesn't lead us inward and it doesn't lead us outward, but it leads us
forward.
That gives us the opportunity to maintain distinctiveness and engagement at the same time.